welcome to Tech at Work. I'm your host, Reema Tendulkar from CNBC TV 18. This is the show where we talk about emerging trends in the technology space. And today we're going to be talking about the technology which will power all other technology. We're talking about 5G. Now, 5G is the most talked about network upgrade in the mobile technology space in a very, very long time. For one, the data speed could be nearly 1,000 times faster than 4G. But what actually differentiates 5G from all other mobile networks is something called as latency. So 5G has very low latency, and that's a word which actually has been bandied about a lot when we talk about 5G. So quick reference, what latency means is how long it takes for the network to respond to a request, which could be you trying to play a song or a video or load a website. So basically, that website has to respond before it even starts loading, and that is called latency. In 4G, there is a minor but a perceptible lag. But in 5G, the latency or the response time is expected to be as low as 1 microsecond. For instance, a self-driving car needs to respond to inputs and the changes in the situation immediately, which is why they require this low response time or latency. And hence, for instance, a self-driving car is possible in 5G, but not in 4G. And 5G can power more such innovation. Low latency can help 5G help us do entirely new different things and not just modestly improve what we are doing already. Now, globally, 5G seems to be a battle between the US and China. Rollouts are expected in 2019, but we out here in India want to know about when 5G will play out in India and what impact will it have on the key players Reliance Jio, Bharti, as well as Vodafone Idea. To discuss 5G in India, we're now joined by Rajiv Sharma, the co-head of research at SBI Capital. Rajiv, thanks so much for speaking to Tech at Work. When it came to 4G, India lagged China by close to 2 to 3 years. But when it comes to 5G, you think it's going to be different, and a rollout in India could also be imminent.
Absolutely. We are of the view that next year, early next year, when we see the 5G spectrum auctions and you know, calendar year 21, we'll see the 5G rollout. You know, the whole view is around the fact that incumbents have are in the process of raising a lot of cash. Through rights issue, through perpetual bonds, through tower monetization. And all this money is going into 4G capex, which means that the market leader today in terms of 4G, Jio, will have to think its next game. And we believe they will get early into 5G so that they can differentiate there.
So you're talking about a 5G auction perhaps in the early part of calendar year 20 and a rollout in calendar year 21. And this is because Jio wants to stay ahead of the game and its peers in terms of innovation, technology, etc.
Absolutely. Today, the thought leadership, the 4G market leadership, we are a 400 4G subs market, of which 280, 290 is roughly with Jio. And rest is with the incumbent telcos. So that's, you know, now once these incremental capacities come in from the incumbents, then, you know, the incumbents will be able to migrate all their 2G subs to 4G. So there'll be not much left for Jio. Hence, it's important that, you know, Jio thinks ahead and moves to 5G.
If indeed we have the auctions in the early part of, you know, 2020, will Bharti as well as Vodafone Idea participate in, or what could be the extent of their participation given the leveraged balance sheet?
Yeah, so the leverage as far as Bharti is there, you know, it's kind of coming down. They will go below 3 with the rights issue immediately. And what happens is I don't think Bharti really needed so much money. So they are anticipating 5G auctions, and some of this cash raise, the Africa IPO, the perpetual bond, is all also to do with 5G. And we don't see anybody, including Jio, bidding for pan-India 5G auction spectrums. We believe it will be selective, restricted to the top 10, 12 markets. Bharti would play a similar approach.
And what about Vodafone Idea? Because you have a very interesting view. You believe 5G can actually narrow the market further. We've already seen the market consolidate from 10 players down to 3 players, and that you believe may further come down to 2 players, and Vodafone Idea may be out of the race. Is that your view?
So let me just keep it very simple here that yes, 5G will drive further consolidation. And operators which cannot participate in the 5G spectrum auction in the first 2 years because they are busy with their 4G capacity increase, yes, in that scenario, market would consolidate to 2. But if 5G was to get delayed, then we'll be a three-player market. And as far as our view is concerned, we believe that Jio is not focused on market share. It's more focused on the market structure. Because market share in
what
a
What do you mean by a market structure?
So a two-player market structure allows Jio to have that aspiration of 50%. And that's something which is a sustainable mechanism to deliver 50% or 45%, whatever it is. But if you are a three-player market, let's say you're delaying 5G by three, four years, then you will always be a three-player market. Then it will be like fighting for 2-3% every now and then. So there is no edge, despite having this big 4G edge, that may not be sustainable in that scenario.
So it's in Reliance Jio's interest to have auctions very early. What about the spectrum bands which are of interest? The TRAI had come out with pricing recommendations in August of last year. And at that time, players like Bharti Airtel had said it's very expensive. Walk us through your expectation on the bands of interest as well as pricing.
On your second question first, we believe that the spectrum prices will go down by 25-30% from current
levels. What are the current pricing?
So current pricing is 494 crore per megahertz for the most popular 3500 band. That should go down. It's like 15 times what's its price in Korea. There is no business case with such a pricing. And the regulator will have to look into the total capex which goes in, which is the spectrum pricing, the network capex, plus the backhaul capex which is on fiber. Purely looking at, you know, what is raised in spectrum or what the operators spend on spectrum may not be the right perspective. It was in case of 3G and 4G, which didn't require so much of fiber in investments in the fiber.
Walk us through the investments that you expect for 5G.
So,
and how would it compare with 4G?
So it's very difficult to, you know, compare 4G and 5G because a lot which has gone into 4G will help you in 5G. But the way to look at it is that 6 to 7 billion or the first auction or, you know, the first two auctions will be the amount each operator spends on spectrum, and incrementally another 3 to 4 billion to densify the networks in those 10-12 markets. So the first 3 years, we are talking about 25 billion to 30 billion kind of investments by the sector if three players were to participate, 20 to 25 if they were just two players.
And the money raised by incumbents will be used largely for 4G upgrade and not so much for 5G, is your view?
So yes, as far as Bharti is concerned, they will be able to participate in 5G selectively and selectively roll out. But let's say 60-70% goes in 4G upgrade and rest goes in 5G.
You are expecting auctions to take place 1 year hence, which means telcos still have one more year to raise tariffs perhaps and garner some more revenue. What is your own assumption in when we could see tariff hikes?
We don't see any tariff hikes happening right away. We believe that tariff hikes will happen post-spectrum auctions of 5G and before 5G rollout. You look good with the regulator as well when you've done post-auction and, you know, spend $6-7 billion each in the spectrum auctions. Any near-term tariff hike may not be sustainable because some of the incumbents may be losing market share. So they may not respond. And if one of the incumbent is not responding, you may see a scenario where the other is not responding as well. So given this, it looks only post-auctions.
Okay. You said, once again, $6 to $7 billion is what each operator could spend in the 5G auctions alone. You know, does Reliance Jio, Bharti, as well as Vodafone Idea have the financial muscle to spend that?
So clearly, you know, Jio is also looking at deleveraging through the tower and fiber monetization. Bharti's lined up IPO of Africa, rights issue, and so many other things. So yes, both of them look pretty comfortable with the 5G spectrum auctions. It's not comfortable. It is, the way to say is that post auction, if you go ahead with a 15 to 20% tariff hike, then there is an offset.
What could be the potential debt to equity of Bharti Airtel considering the leveraging that they have already lined up plus the expected spend on 5G auctions?
Assuming, you know, that everything goes fine in terms of the rights issue, the Africa IPO, what we're going to see is and a 15 to 20% tariff hike with the 5G auctions, we believe Bharti will be close to 4-4.5 times. So they will be back to the same number where they're today, but they would have spent on 5G spectrum by that time.
What about revenue monetization opportunities which throws up for these operators post 5G?
So first is the mobile, you know, data monetization. But apart from then, there is a lot in terms of IoT, machine to machine. But one of the most immediate would be FWA, which is fixed wireless access.
What exactly is that?
So fixed wireless access is delivering home broadband through the wireless. So instead of getting your fiber as a last mile to every home, you try to have a small base station just outside the building trying to give you quasi home broadband speeds. So it's quite possible that this could be cheaper and this could be leveraged with the investments you already made in 5G infrastructure. Verizon in US is all set to go ahead with that. So maybe by end of this year, FWA will pick up in US, initiated by Verizon.
So that could be a key monetization option.
Yes, you are right, because look at India, we are very low on home broadband. It's just 6-7 million has really high speeds. The rest are below 500 kbps. So home broadband through FWA could be, apart from the mobile data, IoT, it could be another viable revenue stream.
Why is optic fiber so important for 5G? And India has not laid sufficient amount of optic fiber compared to, say, China. So is that going to be a big challenge when it comes to rollout?
Yes, so what we are talking about is huge data speeds, downloading a HD movie in split of seconds or in few seconds versus minute. So that means you're generating 10 times more traffic. And how do you carry that traffic? You need fiber. Now, it's not necessary that you will need fiber in every location, but in the CBDs, the top districts, the metros, you'll definitely need them. There is an option for the regulator to revisit, re-evaluate the spectrum bands, the E band and the W band, which are the microwave backhaul spectrum bands. There's a lot of spectrum sitting there. If those are released,
Will that help? So these E bands and F bands.
Yeah, so there's a ton of spectrum sitting there, and that's a backhaul spectrum. So you can power the microwave and kind of avoid doing a lot of fiber deployment.
And what exactly is power the backhaul and all?
Today, if you've got only X spectrum allocated to the microwave, it can only carry X traffic. But if you give it 100X, then the ability of microwave to carry more and more traffic, because the speed is there, they are much better equipped.
What about the 5G ecosystems? We've so far been talking from an operator point of view. What about the handsets in the system? Because a lot of people have said that India's ecosystem is not ready for 5G.
So I think the ecosystem has started. The Samsung S10 or G10 is just on the edge. They're going to announce the pricing there. So there are few handsets which are there already claiming to be 5G, but they're not yet launched. If I recall correctly, Motorola has done something with Verizon in Chicago for $350, but that's a trial run. We believe that Korea, where LG U Plus is taking lead in 5G deployment with 6,000 base stations, and they will do Pan Korea by next year. That's the market where one should look at in terms of the handset ecosystem, how it plays out. But as far as India is concerned, moment you see Indian telcos going to auction, we believe that the Chinese vendors will try to adjust their factories for the India-centric conditions.
But $350 is still 25,000. That's quite a high price for a handset. So will Indians adopt 5G when you're talking about such expensive handsets?
Reema, isn't this the same question you would have asked me if I was doing something on 4G, back in the 3G days? This always happens. And the way to look at it, this whole thing is that it is the smartphone market which catches up first. And even today, most of the purchase in smartphone happens in the 10 to 15,000 bracket, despite you having 6,000 cheaper option. So there are always early adapters. And 5G is also going to be more about marketing bullet for telcos, more of a positioning exercise. So there will be early adapters. The first 12 months post rollout, you will see more of 5G handsets in the 15 to 20,000 number.
It's a battle between US and China. Huawei is a name which has been spoken about a lot. Take us through what's happening globally.
It's one of the most sensitive issues, but the way to look at it, this whole thing is Huawei has emerged as a very viable equipment player. And not only that, in the last few years, they emerged a very viable smartphone handset manufacturer. They're number two. They're ahead of Apple, and they're just behind Samsung. They are more than Cisco, US, which used to dominate this whole thing with Motorola, Lucent Technologies. They just don't exist. So it is there are many aspects to this whole thing, but one of the key aspect is the power, the economic power Huawei has generated, the acceptability they have generated across markets. That is with 4G, and with 5G they've filed so many IPRs, so they could be more dominant in this whole equipment plus handset space.
Thanks, Rajiv, for joining in. With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Tech at Work, but lots of interesting insights coming in. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Tech at Work. I, Reema Tendulkar, will be back with another episode, and do remember to subscribe to our podcast, Tech at Work. They're available on all the platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, Audioboom, Radiohead. You can also watch the video on YouTube and send in your feedback at my Twitter handle, Reema Tendulkar.